Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Across the world in Ukraine, people have lost their lives, are continuing to lose their homes, and that world is just plummeting into absolute chaos. Very, very difficult to reconcile these two extremes. Either way, there is a tremendous amount of pressure being placed on Putin by countries and, of course, by the people around him. And the question is, does this work? Is this working? Professor Anna-Mart van Wyk is a professor at the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg. She joins us this morning. Good morning. Thanks for doing that. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you. And good morning to the listeners. I'm fine, thank you.
Great. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure, and we're seeing it, of course, economically. We're seeing it socially. We're seeing brands pulling out of Russia. It's just tremendous. It's one thing after another in terms of the pressure that Putin is under. Is this helping?
Yeah, that is a big question. I think many international relations analysts are trying to figure out. We see that, despite all of these Western sanctions against Putin or against Russia, he does get continued revenue on the economic side from foreign gas and oil sales, still to India, China, and parts of Europe. But we also see at the same time that Russia is now increasingly reliant on goods and technology from countries that haven't sanctioned Russia, like China, Turkey, just to mention those two. So on the one hand, you see that some analysts are thinking that China, for example, would not want to continue supplying Russia because it would be seen as partnering with Putin by the West, and China would probably not want to jeopardize the Western business. So we do see that Putin is under an enormous amount of pressure, but at the same time, he's also not letting up in terms of what he calls the special operation in Ukraine. We are seeing at the moment, of course, that there is an acceleration of arms deliveries for Ukraine, especially from the US and Europe. But is that enough, to put a stop to Putin? Because we're not seeing a fighter aircraft, for example, being supplied to Ukraine. And it's one of the things that they have been consistently asking. So you've got a lot of anti-tank missiles and, even there's some armed drones that have now been supplied. The United States is supplying helicopters to Ukraine. But is it enough, to stop this war machine of Putin? That's the question that I think we will see in the next week if it's actually helped. Yeah.
I guess the balance here is if they push him too fast and too hard, he could react very poorly.
He could. On the one side, we also see, I think the Washington Post yesterday had an article that really sums it up very well. Because the question for Putin now comes down to, does he believe continuing to use force can actually achieve any of the political aims for Ukraine or in Ukraine, or does he see the situation of one of diminishing returns? So at the moment, he's still very much pushing, but we have seen between 7,000 and 15,000 Russian soldiers that have already died in the Ukraine and thousands more are injured. And just over the weekend, again, another general was killed. So we have seen 20% of Putin's generals that have been killed in Ukraine already. And for the first time, we've actually seen Russian troops also turning on their colonel. So a Russian colonel was killed by demoralized troops after the unit suffered heavy losses. So they ran over him with a tank. So is that enough, for Putin to realize, is it a political limitation for him? And I think that's the big question at the moment. We're not seeing him letting up. In fact, April is another month in which he will be, targeting conscripted soldiers into the Russian military. So they have a big limit on manpower at the moment, but there is a new conscription coming up in April. So that's just the thing. Russia is also suffering quite a lot of logistical difficulties still in Ukraine, and they struggle to keep the supply lines going. But is it enough? At the moment, we're not seeing him letting up. I'm still concerned about the fact that if he's pushed into a corner, that he might go the route of tactical nuclear weapons or even chemical weapons even though the West has made it clear that that would be a red line. But what would the red line mean for Putin? You know, would they retaliate with the same type of weapons, or what would they do?
Antifa has already put himself in a position where he can be charged with war crimes, which it appears as though he can be. Then he has, as these things progress, he has less and less to lose.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And I mean, if we look at the situation in Ukraine, he's targeting women and children. He's targeting civilian buildings where people are basically hiding. I mean, one example is the opera house that was bombed over the weekend. He's targeting hospitals. Now, if you look at the Geneva Convention, you know, that specifically guides international law around war crimes, we are seeing that war crimes are being committed in Ukraine, because he's targeting non-combatants, which is against the whole principle of international law. Yes. Yeah. But who would take Putin to, you know, to the International Court of Justice at the UN? He's a permanent member of the Security Council with allies in the Security Council.
Well, I guess the only way that would happen is if his country itself rejected him. And I guess that's the other question, because there's tremendous pressure being placed on the oligarchs, who are definitely suffering because of his behavior. The whole country is under tremendous, tremendous pressure economically, socially, in all aspects. I guess that should there be that much pressure and misery from around him, he might be pressured to step down. And if he does step down, then we might find a situation that all of a sudden the tide turns against him, and we start seeing people trying to hold him accountable within his own country. So that might very well happen.
That might be true, yes. But we must also remember that over the past several years, actually decades, that Putin has been in power, he has been suppressing dissent and silencing independent media, you know, consistently, gradually, but consistently. And at the moment, we can also not really detect any obvious rift in the Russian intelligence and military circle around Putin. So I think that is a pretty strong circle at the moment, because, you know, all of them are also sanctioned at the moment. So if one of them wanted to basically, you know, leave Russia or just speak out against Putin, they basically have nowhere to go. Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, when the news in Russia is starting to spread about the heavy losses that they are experiencing in Ukraine, and the bodies of these young soldiers are getting home, one would probably see much more of a public resistance against Putin. But again, that's the question. Would that be enough? Isn't his security circle around him, you know, still too strong to withstand that? And I think only time will tell whether that popular resistance is going to be enough for him, you know, to be kicked out of his current position.
And that's what we're going to have to see, and that's the story that we're going to keep following. Thank you, as always. Trying to get a sense of the situation, Professor Anna Mart van Wyk, Professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg.